Hello and welcome to Think Rants, the podcast for people with time on their hands, people like prisoners, scientists working in remote locations, and several other jokes I couldn't be bothered to write because I knew it would end up with a masturbation gag. Today is the 9th of February 2012, and I'm your host, John Stabler, and joining me as usual are my two regular co-hosts. It's the bearded man who currently has no beard, Stephen Brett.
Good evening.
And also, here's one of the funniest men on the Cardiff comedy circuit. If last week was anything to go by, Trevor J. Williams.
Oh, thanks very much. Oh, you bastards, you're going to wind me up something terrible, aren't you?
Yep, and I'll just get the usual stuff out the way. You can contact us by emailing info@thinkrant.co.uk. You can tweet us at thinkrant. You can search for us on Facebook and find us on there, or you can check out our blog, thinkrant.blogspot.com. And don't worry about that. I mean, it hasn't been updated for ages. But if you want to pick up our old shows, they're on there. Or you can find us on iTunes. Go and leave us a review. So that's it.
Yeah. But don't, if you think it just sounds like it's hardly been edited at all, right? That's because John just doesn't have time at the moment. He really doesn't. He did a little bit of extra banking work. A bit of chief executing briefly for a bank and got paid a ridiculous amount of money, far too much public money, and then they tried to pay him twice, but he said, no, that's too much, I did fuck all as it was and I did a pretty bad job, so please don't give me that bit of money. And because of that, he's become a national hero just for refusing the second extortionate payment for doing fuck all badly. All of a sudden, he's somehow a hero. There's people outside his front door right now waiting for autographs. So they want to sign their tits. The man can't get anything done.
You know what? All of what Trev just said is true.
I offered to sign some tits for him when I came in.
In that case, mate, can I borrow some money?
Trev, at this point, I'd just like to say, though, I'd like to congratulate John on actually getting the first podcast of the year, you know, published this week.
That's right, in February.
Yeah, you know. Well done, John. That's really good.
Right, I think the least said, the better.
But you don't edit the podcast, John. Why does it take so long? I think John's going to throttle me with the microphone.
Right, we're going to move on swiftly. John's been ill this week. Very ill.
Oh dear.
I was going to say, I've been sick this week, and then somebody would say, how sick? And then I'd be able to do the joke. But you've all heard it before, so. See, true. This is the new thing that we're doing. We're doing comedy that's so clever that we're not actually going to deliver any punchlines whatsoever, because we think that our audience are so smart that they can work it out for themselves.
Indeed,
they're chuckling at the absence of the punchline.
Yeah, exactly. You pitch them, John, and I won't hit them home.
There you go, see? You're getting the hang of it already, Steve.
You set them up and I'll just walk away, really, leave them there.
So I personally think this actually fits in with, you know, what our normal comedy's like anyway. Yeah. So
only this week, we mean for it to be shit.
Shit isn't the word I'd use. All right, let's get on to some
alternative
stories.
Alternative, Trev.
Alternative, okay. Definitely. That's the term I'm looking for. So, go on then. Surprise me, Steve. Tell me that you got this really important story that you're desperate to talk about.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've just got a story which everyone's been talking about.
Oh, go on then.
Well, it's just the John Terry thing. Now, I know we don't do popular culture. I know we don't, you know, do sport particularly. But I think there's a really important point in this that needs to be discussed. So I just think we should.
Go on then, Steve. You knock it out.
I will indeed. As we all know, Fabio Capello last night resigned from England manager's job. Now, whilst I'm not English, I don't particularly care about the English football team. I think there's a very interesting point here. He resigned out of principle because the governing body of his organisation have basically punished a man and taken punitive action against him when he's been found guilty of absolutely nothing other than being unpopular in the press. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not an apologist for John Terry. I think, you know, we can probably guess what he said from the TV replays, but I'm no expert, so that needs to be proved in a court of law. So, so basically, you know, we've got a man who's you know, received, who's basically been removed from his position purely because the press have said he's guilty. And, you know, I just think we yet again, we have an issue with the pressure. I mean, you know, I'm not going to stand up for racism. I'm not going to stand up to somebody who may have, you know, who, if found guilty, has obviously said something pretty nasty and, you know, very upsetting to the person who he said it to. But, you know, as it stands at the moment, he's not been found guilty of anything. And Capello was absolutely right that in this country we have a law which is, you know, or, you know, a man is innocent until proven guilty. And this hasn't proven to be the case for Terry. He's been tried by the media yet again, and the FA have taken punitive action after like about 3 months, just purely because the press have been on and on and on about it. So I guess that's my rant, really. It's the press again.
Did you have anything to add, Trev?
I do. Oh, you're not going to like it.
Go on, Trev.
Oh, do you hear that in John's voice there? Oh, go on, Trev.
Go for it, Trev. Go.
Fight.
Fight. I'm not. Being upset and it's not my fault.
I'm not that passionate to have a fight about it. I just, you know.
Well, there's sure. Turf now.
Come on, let's have Trev piss somebody.
Go, Trev. No, go.
It's basically the position of England captain. If it were just the captain of another team, I would totally agree with you. But because it's England captain, there are additional responsibilities in an ambassadorial kind of a sense. And I think that if there were an accusation at all, then he should remove himself from that position on the understanding that as soon as the innocent verdict comes back, he gets reinstated. You know, saying, I'm perfectly confident that this is going to come to nothing, and when it does, I'll come back. But until then, the deputy or whoever you know is next in line should take on those responsibilities, and then there'll be none of this.
To be honest with you, Trev, I don't disagree with you at all. I absolutely agree with you. I think John Terry should be man enough to do that. However, he didn't. But also, yeah. I think the FA, as I said, they've dragged their heels over it. It's taken sort of 3 months to get to this point. Why didn't they just suspend him right at the start and say, look, John, you know, you may or may not be guilty of this, but, you know, because we need to protect the FA, but also to give you a chance, you know, as they normally spiel, to go and focus on your case and clear in your name, we're going to suspend you, but should you be proven innocent, you'll be welcomed back with open arms, and you can reinstate your duty straight away. And he should have been actually suspended from all England duty right from the start, with the proviso that if he's found innocent, obviously, he's given fully reinstated. I mean, you know, if I was facing criminal proceedings such as this from my business, I'm sure I'd be suspended during that period whilst I'm clearing my name. And exactly the same should have happened with John Terry.
Yeah, the truly offensive thing about all this is that all the people involved who could have made a decision didn't immediately know what the right thing to do is, which I think we've pretty much landed on. They just thought, oh, what would be the most popular thing to do, or the least offensive thing to do? How can we play this? Well, how about you just think of what's fucking right and do that? Would that be too crazy an idea?
Evidently it is.
Hey, and sorry, are we done on this? You ranted out.
Yeah, I'm ranted out. I've said what I needed to say.
And it was a rather disappointing agreement in the end. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so we've very slightly different approaches to pretty much the same destination.
Yeah. I wanted to say something, and I didn't know whether I was going to get it in, but this allows me to segue. Basically, what happened was it took a load of people ages to realise something, and because we're so smart, we realised it pretty quick, yeah? Well, I saw something today, and that exact same thing happened. Julian Baggini in The Guardian has amazingly come to the same conclusion as us. Apparently, religion requires supernatural stuff. So, well done, Julian. I really wish someone paid me loads of money to write this shit for The Guardian. So, slow hand clap from Trev there.
I'm just chuckling.
So, thanks, Julian. So that's all I wanted to say on that one, because he basically filled up the usual column inches just with that.
Julian Baggini, pooned.
By a bunch of Welsh twats who know nothing, apparently. Well, don't know enough to have their own Guardian column. So, I'm going to go for a story, if that's all right.
Go for it.
Shoot.
This came off a fan of the show. Apparently, this was in the Metro. scientists have done some studies and they've come to the conclusion that all men look at porn. Now, I don't know if this is groundbreaking or not, but researchers at the University of Montreal have come to a stunning conclusion that all men look at pornography. Yes, that's all of them.
Wow.
The Canadian scientists originally wanted to compare non-porn viewers with their visually randy counterparts, but stumbled upon a problem. They discovered that the former group doesn't exist. We started our research seeking men in their 20s who had never consumed pornography. We couldn't find any. There you
well,
go.
I've never consumed it. That would just be grim.
So
especially when I was a kid, the stuff we used to find in railway sidings and such. That was just horrible.
So there you go. That's my quick story out the way. So
it was quick.
Yeah. So Trev, have a go.
Okay. Something is afoot at the Leveson Inquiry. A single foot, and that foot belongs to Heather Mills. The hysterical rationality vacuum and celebrity torturer, Heather Mills. Never authorized former News of the World editor Piers Morgan, or anybody else, to listen to her voicemails, she told the Inquiry into Press Standards today. Or was it yesterday? In fact, I think it was. Chat show host Morgan had previously told the Inquiry he listened to a voicemail message left to Mills by Sipple, but refused to say when or where he heard it because he wanted to protect a source. And today Miss Mills said she had never authorised Morgan or anybody to access or listen to her voicemails, neither had she ever played a recording to the former editor. I couldn't quite believe that he would even try to insinuate a man that has written nothing but awful things about me for years would relish in telling the court if I had played a voicemail message to him, she said. Basically, he was trying to make out like, could have been that I was allowed to by Heather Mills. Maybe. I don't know. You'd have to ask Heather Mills. And Leveson said, right, screw you. Get Heather Mills in. And she came in just to screw Piers Morgan. So I find myself getting a grudging amount of respect for the woman.
Well, no, I'd reserve the respect for the Inquiry and the fact that they're actually willing to get their hands dirty and actually do things like that and say, right, get her in.
Yeah.
You know,
leave it unsaid.
Let us sully the room with her presence.
He couldn't get more sullied after Piers Morgan being in there, could he? Let's be honest.
There's one thing I've always wanted to know about, like, a one-legged woman. How does she hold back the pee if she's desperate?
I don't know, John.
Okay, that was my only question. But,
I had a question as well.
Go on.
Which is, if, you know, you had the choice and you were stuck on a desert island, which one would you want to be stuck with? Piers Morgan or Heather Mills?
Oh, that's horrible.
No, it's an easy one. Wow. I'd take Heather Mills because her leg floats.
Ah, now you see. I like what you're saying there. I was going to go for Piers Morgan because there's more food on him.
Yeah. That's right, she's half eaten already.
Exactly, two legs.
Steve, I can't believe you're doing fat gags, right? Because let's be fair.
I'm not saying he's fat, I'm implying he's got two legs.
Oh, right, okay. Well, he's... Yeah. Sorry,
Piers, but... two legs Morgan, as he would be known, you know? If it was just the two of them in a room together.
You know, if you wanted, you know, the bargain bucket, you know, you want two legs, wouldn't you? Let's be honest.
Don't be stranded with the uni Dexter.
Quite.
I can imagine you, Steve. You know, you've got him on a spit, and you're thinking, "Where's Colonel Sanders when you need him?"
Exactly. All I need now is just a bit of southern fried seasoning.
Okay. Yes. That Leveson Inquiry, to be fair, has been fun. Even if you're just viewing it from Twitter in your spare 20 minutes. Well, no, I think you can actually spend a good couple of hours every day reading various Twitter feeds on what's happening at Leveson. But what do you think, Trev, is actually going to come out of this, if anything?
I've really got no idea, because all they're doing is establishing the extent of wrongdoing. They are not establishing the possible implications of policy that they might choose to recommend. That they
so
haven't done that at all.
Finding, then.
Yeah. There'll probably be an extended period of chin rubbing afterwards. Yeah.
Just the chin
sat around
rubbing.
In, yeah.
I would hope, but I guess I can't necessarily see it happening because I've not really got a mandate for it. But I think I would like to see one of the recommendations from the Leveson Inquiry being that an independent and completely free of the media press complaints commission is set up, basically. So, you know, at the moment, you've got the media policing themselves. Well, I'm sorry, but...
Well, you haven't, actually, because not all of the media are actually signed up to the PCC.
Well, no, exactly. But then in that case, you should have a situation whereby there has to be some sort of governance for them, whether they choose to sign up for it or not, in which case it needs to be, you know, completely independent of press. Completely.
There's either self-regulation, which clearly isn't working. All that's left then is libel, which only the rich can afford, or super injunctions, which only the super rich can afford.
Okay.
So what do you do for regular people who get shat on by the press? Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know, because I certainly don't want to curtail the freedom of the press to investigate, and I certainly don't want this government trying to come up with legislation to control the press.
Well, no, that's the issue, isn't it?
Because the last time the Tories were in,
To walk, isn't it? But
you remember Clause 28? They tried to outlaw the concept of being gay.
Yeah, you know, I just think that the press at the moment, yes, you know, freedom of speech, but I think they are abusing their position and need to be, well, I say reined in, but directed back to what they should be doing, which is, you know, reporting the news and actual journalism. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with good investigative journalism, and that should be encouraged. But, you know, the dirt trawling that they do at the moment should be discouraged.
Yeah. Well, and then publishing just tawdry crap that they happen to find, which has no valid reason to be expressed. Some kind of system with like a show to a magistrate or something, like, this is the reason why I was investigating, and this is the reason why I thought it was good to publish.
But, yeah.
You know, it's tricky, because that couldn't go to a jury, because there'd be a hell of a lot of basic groundwork to explain to everybody the principles of it. You know, what's involved if you actually curtail their freedoms. It's so horribly tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, more to come on that story, I'm sure. Is it time for the feature? Before Steve does his story?
Oh, I haven't got any more stories. I'm done.
Oh, it's time for the feature then. Here we go.
By default.
It's this week's Spot the Fake. No, there's no jingle. So, I've seen who I could...
You just have to say, no, there's no jingle. Every time you say Spot the Fake, say, no, there's no jingle, and that will be the jingle.
Okay, we'll work with that, okay. So, here we go, guys. I must admit, guys, actually...
Is this your best one ever, John?
This is the best one we've ever had.
That's your jingle. This is the best one we've ever had.
This is the best one we've ever had, okay. Right. So, story number one, internet news. Raising the bar on nerdy wedding proposals, YouTuber Dr. Papa, possibly not a real doctor, decided to ask his girlfriend to marry him by donning a papier-mâché Futurama Bender mask and popping the question in binary. As the story goes, he asked his girlfriend to close her laptop for a couple of minutes while he posted the video link to her Facebook wall. After logging back in, she spent half an hour watching, transcribing, and then decoding the message, which turned out to be, "Rachel, you are awesome. Will you marry me?" And possibly, out of pity, or maybe wanting it to be over, she said, 0111100100100100110011, which I checked is binary for ASCII yes. So there you go, that's story number one. Story number two.
He looked very proud of himself there, Trev, when he said that.
Story number two. Taiwanese news. A dead sperm whale has exploded while being delivered to a research center near the southwestern city of Tainan. Passers-by in cars were soaked in blood and body parts were sprayed over a road after the bursting of the whale, which was being carried on a trailer. The whale had died earlier on a beach and had been collected, so its remains could be used for educational purposes. Professor Wang Qianping of the National...
You love your professors and Dr. Wang, don't you?
...of the National Cheng Kung University had ordered the whale to be moved to the Shitsao Natural Preserve after his own institution refused to allow a post-mortem examination. A marine biologist blamed the explosion of pressure on gases building up in the mammal as it began to decompose. Because of the natural decomposing process, a lot of gases accumulated. And when the build-up was too great, the whales barely exploded, said Dr. Wang. Sorry, Professor Wang.
Fantastic.
You had to get it in twice more, didn't you?
And story number three.
He's got to get his Wang in as many times as possible before he finishes.
US news. Iowa State Governor hopeful Bill Davidson is trying on a new tactic and in his third standing in the race for the top job in Des Moines. The Republican candidate is experimenting with a new concept known as honesty. The effects of his honest politics campaign has not been any more obvious than in his last press interview when questioned about his flip-flop on women's rights policies. In previous campaigns, Davidson had played down women's rights issues but when pressured had supported pro-choice stances on abortion and contraceptives. However, his current campaign sees his position change to reflect the more conservative majority when looking at changes to legislation. When asked why he changed his mind, he replied, simple, I want people to vote for me and more people are against abortion. So those are your three stories. So is it story number one, binary engagement? Story number two, exploding sperm whale, featuring Professor Wang? Or is it story number three, a politician being a twat?
Oh, it's me first this week, isn't it?
Is it? Okay, great.
I think it is, yeah.
It is indeed.
Now that last one, I want that to be true so much that somebody just come out and said, no, I don't believe it, but what the hell? You dozy bastards want to vote for somebody who thinks like this? So fine. Yeah, okay. I think like this. That would be wonderful. But I have a suspicion that it's fake. But you know what? I can't let story two go through. A sperm explosion from a Professor Wang. Come on! There's no way! It may well be true, but there's no way I could look myself in the mirror if I said that that was true.
Trev, you did have this debate last time. It was a Dr. Wang.
This was the exact same thing you said last time. In fact, last time you accused me of being a racist if I'd made it up. Are you going to do the same? Are you going to do that again?
I'm thinking that because there's another Wang, and we're going to think, oh, maybe Wang's just such a common name, he wouldn't possibly make it up again. Yes, he would. This time, he's made it up.
Okay. So you're not going
to... And a sperm explosion, for God's sake.
Sperm whale.
So there, yeah, number two, that's the fake. Oh, please, God, let that
be. I'm taking a different tack from Trev, to be honest with you.
All right, okay.
I just need a clarification. When did you say the sperm whale had died?
Where?
When?
Where? Oh, I don't think I gave a date.
Or did you say it had just been found the day before?
I think it had been found within the 24 hours.
But it hadn't necessarily died within the 24 hours.
I haven't written it down, but I'll tell you. They found it, and it died, and then they...
So I just think that's quite a rapid decomposition, isn't it? To build up that much gas. Although, you know, I'm sure I've heard of that happening before.
You know, I mean, you can, you've only got the facts. All right, then just treat it as the facts I've given you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go along with, I think actually the whale is true.
Okay.
Just refresh me on story one again.
Story one, the guy who proposed to his girlfriend.
That's right, binary proposal. Yeah, I can see that happening as well, to be honest with you. An honest politician, can't see it, to be honest with you. And yeah, and where was he from again?
Iowa.
So yeah, an honest politician from Iowa who is already saying, he's always said that he's in favour of abortion, but he's not in favour of abortion. No, I don't believe it. They're all against abortion out there. So number three is a fake.
Number three is the fake. Right, okay. So, who won last week?
I did.
Steve.
Sorry, I say last week. Last year, or whenever. Last month.
But it depends which podcast you published. Was it when we did three times?
No, the most recent one.
Oh, right, yeah. Yes, that was me.
That was you, okay. So, first one, internet news. That's a true story. But I suppose you can always say, well, anything can go on the internet. But then again, you could say anything goes in America. But no, that is a true story.
Of course.
Story number two, Trevor's choice of an exploding sperm whale.
This one is just packed. It's too rich. There's too much ingredient stuffed into this story.
It's a true story.
No!
It's a true story.
Sperm explosion supervised by a professor.
Dr. Wang!
Should I tell you what? I nearly exploded. When I was looking at this story to include it anyway, simply because of the gross exploding sperm whale. However, when I saw Professor Wang in there, it was like Christmas, Thanksgiving, my birthday, all come at once. And I thought, they're just not going to believe this. So I'm afraid, yes, I made up the story about the politician being honest. Because that is straight out of a fiction book. So congratulations, Steve, for once
thank
again
you,
spotting the obvious. Once again, the Twisted Logic Award goes to Trevor.
Yeah.
I do think you'll think things a bit, Trev.
I've got a jingle for you. It's, has John got a Wang story this week?
This is what makes me laugh. I've included two Wang stories now, apparently. It's a running
both
theme.
Have been true.
I thought the monkeys was the running theme, but, you know.
Pirate monkeys.
If there's a monkey Wang story, it's true.
Oh, I'm so looking for one of them.
You just scour in the
internet. Or I'll just make
every
it up.
Day.
Hello, Google, my friend.
Every
Wang,
time you turn the computer
monkey.
On, monkey Wang search. Oh, well. Maybe tomorrow.
The thing is, though, I really hope that there's somebody watching your internet connection when you type in monkey Wang. And you're up before the beak for some kind of bestiality porn rap. Okay, so I told you it was the best one ever. And Steve, have you found a story yet? No, that's a no. Okay, all right.
I got a Catholic story for you.
Go on then.
Hey,
you can bash one bishop, and then I'll bash another.
Do it, righto.
Shit, I didn't even mean that as a double entendre. Go on.
Okay, well, you know how. If you see somebody on the street who's just on lying down and they're thrashing around or they're foaming at the mouth or they're a bit ill.
Possessed
or...
by the devil, yeah?
No, no.
Oh, you okay. Would,
you'd see if they had a medical alert bracelet or something. Or you'd check their wallet and see if they had a card saying, I have this dreadful problem. Well.
Not for cash.
Faith cards in England and Wales for Catholics. In case of accident, there's going to be cards given out in England and Wales with a sentence that reads, in the event of an emergency, please call a Catholic priest.
I prefer a doctor myself.
You'd think, yeah. But English and Welsh bishops are producing a million faith cards to identify the holders as Catholics in the event of an accident. The credit card-sized items will be distributed during February and March throughout all dioceses, including the Bishopric of the Forces. Bishopric. Yeah, of the forces, and the personal ordinariate of Our Lady of Walsingham. I have no idea what's special about that. The Department for Evangelization and the something, they're just weird made-up crap. But some departments for England and Wales announced on January the 31st that the cards should serve as a reminder that all baptised are invited to know and share their faith. The card will feature a list of six things that Catholics are called to do. Pray, share with others the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, celebrate the sacraments regularly, love my neighbour as well as myself, use the gifts that I have been given wisely, and forgive as I have been forgiven.
Wow.
Bless.
I did see that story.
How useful is that going to be?
Yeah. As you said, I'd rather, you know, call a doctor, or my blood type is, you know, so...
Yeah. You'd think if somebody took a card out and says, hello, I'm a Catholic. You just fling that card. That's useless to me.
Well,
come
I'd probably...
On, I need to find a card that you're epileptic or having some weird episode of some kind.
You could just, if no one was looking, you could just urinate on them and then pretend that they were on fire and say, whew. Some people come around the corner, oh, thank God, he was on fire.
Hey, I don't actually do these in order to take the piss out of Catholics.
No, I know, but I just thought I'd make it more interesting. But no, do not urinate on Catholics. That was a joke.
No, yeah, yeah.
Do not urinate on them. Well, unless they want you to.
Or unless they are actually on fire.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent
anybody with a brain. And only urinate on them if they're on fire, if there's no other water or something more suitable than, you know. Okay.
Yeah, and probably call the police because John will have been the one that set them on fire in the first place.
No, I would not do that.
Just making an interesting story for next week's Spot the Fake.
Right, my turn to bash a bishop. Dr.
Calling him that.
Dr. John Sentamu, who's an archbishop. To me, I don't... Why is archbishop more... It's bigger than a normal bishop?
Top dog.
Top dog, right? So, I, you know...
It's just a really pompous, overacting bishop.
Yeah.
Archbishop.
Apparently, my irony meter exploded when he urged the state not to dictate over what marriage is. There you are. So I just thought I'd get that in there. He's a complete pleb. And I think it undermines anybody's argument saying that, you know... The Anglican Church is actually that progressive because he's actually a raving lunatic. So I just thought I'd get that one in.
Well, you know, I mentioned last week there was this bizarre site called Newsbusters in America.
Yes.
Watching out for liberal bias in the media. Well, they had another brilliant one this week. The liberal women on The View. On Wednesday, this is apparently like Loose Women, only far more less shrieky and less dreadfully common, if I'm honest. They shrieked at the totalitarian decision by a Texas judge to uphold a law requiring women to look at an ultrasound before having an abortion. Co-host and journalist Barbara Walters found the legal ruling, and not the act of abortion itself, to be heartbreaking. And then they bang on about some left-wing comedian said, it's very totalitarian, in my opinion. As for her definition of totalitarianism, she's apparently unaware that in many communist and actual dictatorial, spelt wrong, countries, women are forced to get abortions. Yeah, but no, I'm sure she's not unaware of that. I'm reasonably certain that this guy who wrote the article is unaware that totalitarian... does not mean commie. It means that the state controls everything. That's all. Including taking the decision of abortion away from women. Whether it says you can get them or you must get them.
So kind of like what they're talking about, really.
Yes.
The irony meter on order.
You call me a totalitarian, you're the totalitarian. Oh, just shut the fuck up. Oh, and dictatorial. For God's sake.
And it's amazing that you mentioned this story because I've got a continuation, another story, that segues into this beautifully. It's to protect a bill that would require women to undergo an ultrasound before having an abortion. Virginia State Senator Janet Howell on Monday attached an amendment that would require men to have a rectal exam and a cardiac stress test before obtaining a prescription for erectile dysfunction medication. So basically, this was a stunt to raise awareness. She doesn't actually seriously think men should have a finger up their ass to get some Viagra. Although, for me, you know, I'm willing to give anything a try.
Would you need the Viagra, John?
No, let's be honest, no.
Can you get the doctor over to your house every time?
I need a repeat prescription. Really? You've gone through them all within 24 hours?
Sorry, I've already got 10 patients with this problem and I can't grow another finger.
My hands are full. So, I'll just
read pity the thumbs.
I'm not going on a thumb this week. We need some gender equality here, she said to the Huffington Post. The Virginia Senate is about to pass a bill that requires a woman to have a totally unnecessary medical procedure at their cost and inconvenience. If we're going to do that to women, why not do that to men? And hear.
I think that's an absolute genius amendment myself.
Yeah. There's been a couple Well, you know, it seems like every week someone's trying to pass something ludicrous. So yeah. I'm actually, a lot of people were whining, saying this, and there's been a couple of other stunts this week And there may be more, so we'll have something to talk about next week. But a lot of people moaning that these stunts are no good. I think
it's
brilliant.
I think it's brilliant. I love the fact that, you know, it's a male-dominated world, politics, and I'm sure that the state government is no different in, was it Virginia, did you say?
Virginia State, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it's no different in Virginia State. I'm sure there's a lot of impotent men who may be very worried that they may have to pass legislation, you know, causing them to be violated, because obviously, you know, a medical examination, they probably think he's a bit gay as well, probably.
When you said that, I thought you were going to say lots of impotent men worry that they're going to have to pass, well, their doctor's finger before they can get on with the business.
Quite. The good news is that she had 19 votes in favour of it, 13 of which were male senators, so, you know, obviously they were quite keen. So.
Hopefully in on it.
Hopefully in on it, or
rather than
like
just
me,
thinking, you know,
experimental.
Why not? Let's give it a go. Hmm.
So, I just hope that doctor washes his hands before he goes to lunch. There you go.
I'd hope he'd be wearing some gloves.
Good point. Or that. Yes, or that.
And washes his hands.
Although she said when she was on the Senate floor proposing it, she said, "I do believe that erectile dysfunction in this context is different from pregnancy." Well, you know, at least she admitted to that. Yeah. So, there you go.
Well, they both pretty much stop sex.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Well, no, pregnancy doesn't stop it. It just makes it awkward.
Yeah, in many, many ways. It makes bringing up the subject awkward.
Yeah. Nope, look what you did to me last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that can't happen now.
Come on, I should go for my life now, shouldn't I?
Right, Trev, you got anything?
Yeah, the big man will not face prosecution. You know the big man?
No, which one in particular?
Well, he's a man who's quite big, who became a global internet sensation after he was caught on camera throwing an apparent fare dodger off a train. Well, he's not going to be prosecuted, it emerged.
Oh, was this the member of the public, wasn't it?
Yes, right.
Rather than actually the train conductor, it was just, yeah, some big fella, get off my train.
Yeah, there was a student who was caught without a fare, and he started getting lippy. So this fellow intervened and threw him off the train. Hooray!
Isn't that the big society?
I suppose technically you could call it that. And it's a bit worrying that they're saying, hooray, this man got off for this. So everybody, if you see somebody who you think is behaving badly, just throw him off a train, that's fine. Well, he might actually be suffering from mental illness or something. Turns out he wasn't. His excuses seem very unconvincing.
Well, but then, for all, you know, try this. What was the excuse?
My dog ate my ticket.
It was, no, I remember. When he was buying his ticket, he bought a single, but then said, "I asked for a return." And the guy said, "I'll tell you what, I'll do you a single in the opposite direction." But he ended up giving him another single for the same direction. So when he went back, all he had to offer was a single ticket going in the opposite direction. And that seems a bit unlikely because I think
more expensive.
I might be wrong, but yeah, given that he's already taken this hit on the till of having done a second single, he could just write that off.
And
make another one.
Yeah, it's speaking as a man who has been issued the wrong ticket in the past by the conductor on the train, I've merely asked him to reprint it with the correct details on, having checked the ticket.
So there you go. Even Steve grasping this complex concept.
I know. Who would have thought that we could have come so far?
Wow.
This guy was behaving fairly scrotally, and it seemed deserved to be thrown off. But I kind of worry about the idea of everybody saying, "I'll step up and I'll do what I happen to think is right," from just glancing at a situation. Quite selfishly, because, you know, I could quite easily have an episode and be strange. And very offensive to people.
To be fair, though, Trev, I can't see many people being able to throw you off a train.
That's a good point.
he would have to be a very big man.
He'd be called Massive Man.
Quite possibly, yeah. So. Behemoth.
Just quickly, while I remember, I want to interject here. Have you been following the Twitter joke trial? Do you remember Paul Chambers?
Oh, I do remember, Chambers, yes.
I haven't seen any.
I know something came up recently.
Yesterday was the appeal. The judges basically gave his side, you know, the appealers, whatever you want to call them in legal jargon, gave him a hard time, you know, asked lots of probing questions, and they're reserving judgment for now. So we're hoping to get a result in maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months, you know how they... So hopefully they will say, you know what, maybe if someone tells a joke, they shouldn't be put in prison for it.
Maybe they'll give him a posthumous pardon, you know, because it'll take that long to...
Think if they find him, you know, not guilty, he's going to have some kind of compo because he's now lost two jobs because of this. And there's a... And this segues into the international Twitter joke trial.
Which is what I thought you were going to refer to, actually. I didn't realize it.
Although there's no trial involved in this one. It's just Twitter joke go home. Which is tourists are being urged to not use Twitter for joking around about blowing up America when you're traveling to the US. apparently a couple of...
The ridiculous thing is, if I remember correctly about this story, it wasn't a case of, like, Paul Chambers saying, you know, Robin Hood Airport, get your shit together, I'm going to blow you sky high. It was actually a case of, I'm going to go and smash America up, being, I'm going to go and get pissed and, you know, go carnage in America. Oh, no, hang on, that'd be misconstrued.
No, apparently it was, his phrase was, he's going to destroy America.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
And personally, I think that's a poor way of phrasing anything, because, to be honest, the people who live there are doing a pretty good job of it already. So it was quite interesting, and believe it or not, the American officials didn't see the sense of humor, didn't
really
get the joke. No, they didn't. So he got there and they turned him away, so it's too bad. So just make sure before you go to America, you don't offer to destroy it first.
But that sounds like an American guy getting too enthusiastic about going drinking, saying, I'm going to tear up this
frat,
bar, I'm going to get destroyed.
Like,
but yeah. And if they hear that at customs, they're going to say, do you hear him? He's going to destroy America. That means he's going to have at least 3 beers. Oh, crazy. Don't come here. That's too much for us.
So
bless him.
Yeah.
I have a little something for Trev.
Okay.
Oh, hello.
It's just to get your reaction, really, Trev. It's not really a story as such. It's just something I just want to gauge your response, really. There's a new film being produced called Caught in Flight. Are you aware of it?
No.
It's going to be a biopic to capture the final 2 years of the life of Princess Diana.
Oh, dear God, no. What's the review going to be like in the Express? I mean, every other day it's going to be a picture of the shooting of that film, isn't it?
Yep, I'm actually reading this from The Guardian, so I'm hoping there's a little bit of irony in it. But, you know, there have been many films about 9/11, but surprisingly few about 8/31, Britain's own day of trauma, when Diana, Princess of Wales, died in a car crash.
No, that would be 31/8.
No, they put it as 8/31.
Oh.
It should be 31/8, but you're quite right. But then, you know... It wouldn't be British if it was 31/8, would it? Yeah, no, it would be. Sorry, yeah.
That's why I'm terrified every 9th of November.
So that's another film that I won't be going to see at the multiplex.
Yep. Yep, so yeah. I just wanted to get Trav's reaction, and quite frankly, it didn't disappoint.
Sorry, just massive sigh.
My bit of fun this week, just to let you in on something, I thought it was quite funny, and to bring us back to something that happened last week that we talked about, was I was on Facebook and I noticed that one of the memes being posted was a picture of some white seal pups on a dance floor. Did you see that?
Missed that one.
Yeah, and the caption was something along the lines of, you know, seals going out clubbing or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, pretty... You know, average Tasteful. Joke. So what I did was... Yeah, a bit of a failure. So what I did was, just to highlight my frustration with, you know, the levels of humour, I posted on it, I find this highly offensive because it trivialises animal cruelty. And I haven't heard back. So,
you troll.
Yeah, well, you know, people keep on trolling me, saying FRAPE is trivializing rape, so I'm thinking that posting pictures of seals and referring to, you know, them being brutally clubbed is, I think it's in bad taste, personally.
Dear, oh dear. Do you really?
No, not really. No. But I'm just trying to highlight how stupid...
John quite often goes out clubbing seals. He loves it.
Yeah. I like it when someone throws it to you, and then you try and get a hit or home run. You know, hitting them on the ice is no fun because they just keep on sliding everywhere.
Yeah, but you see how far you can get them to slide on the ice, though.
Well, the golf.
In kind of like curling, you know.
Oh, I'll have to try that one. Thanks, Steve.
Get some brushes, sweep the way as you know.
You just got to be careful going down that road of just provoking people and saying stuff you don't necessarily mean. Did you hear about? Is it the Amazing Atheist?
I heard about this.
Had a meltdown.
He had a bit of a meltdown. Apparently, he made a rape joke, didn't he? And then somebody called him on it. Oh no, he. And then a rape victim called him on it and said, "Oh well, I'm a rape victim." And then he turned around and said, "Well, I hope it happens to you again." Which, you know, that is a real meltdown as far as he's concerned. And so, after some careful consideration, he thought, he probably thought, what should I do to make this better? Should I apologize profusely, say how much of a dick I've been? And
did he use the same consultant as John Terry?
Yeah, I think he did, because what he did instead is he posted a video whining about how the feminists are out to get him.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry I called someone a dick, because apparently I've also been told that using words that like genitalia is naughty as well. So I've noticed nobody's used the allotment for this week, so don't use it unless you need to. But
that's
apparently
right. That
word is a bad word and we shouldn't use it because it, I don't know.
No, I utterly disagree. I think that's, it's weird that particular, the C-bomb, which you're quite right, should be restrained for when it's absolutely necessary to retain its power. The reason why it's got that thing of, you mustn't say it because there might be women around and they'll be offended if they hear it. That's nonsense. That's the kind of thing that men will say. Men are happy to come up with loads of different names for the dick, and they just got this one dreadful word for that the wonderful female version. And
the inner dick. The inside out dick.
It seems like it's something that's been dictated by the misogynist society to me. Zach just gave a giggle. Dictated. Good one, Sam.
So is Zach in training then for the podcast? Is he hoping one day to take part in the awesome three?
That's right.
Go from the three amigos to the three amigos and, I don't know.
Three and a half amigos.
Oh, he's not that bad. Oh, sorry, no, you'll be the half. Okay.
Right, okay. Well, once I'm utterly befuddled and in some bizarre state.
Well,
more utterly befuddled.
I mean, eventually he's going to be there changing your nappy anyway, so, have you told him that, you know, you don't want to go into a home?
No.
You want to be a burden for the rest of the rest of your years?
Well, I changed a bit of a lifetime.
Okay. Well, I'm done, actually. I know we've got 6 minutes to go, but...
we've had a lovely time, but we still have six minutes
I mean, if anyone else has got stories, go for it, but I'm out.
Stephen's
furiously looking for something, but go on.
There's
go
a
on,
bizarre Kurt. Rant in the Mail Online. Hypocrisy, prejudice, and the Oxford lefties too mean-spirited to give up their vendetta against Maggie.
I saw it. I was going to, but... I couldn't bring myself to talk about her again.
Well, there is about to be another Thatcher row at Oxford University. The last one was in 1985 when Dons voted by a large majority not to award an honorary doctorate to the then Prime Minister. As an Oxford graduate, she had a right to expect this honour, since every previous Prime Minister who had attended the university had received it. But Dons, who objected to her policies, in particular cuts to higher education, ganged up against her. And by 738 to 319 votes, she was rejected. Now a second, in many ways worse, snub may await her. An extension is being built to the Said Business School, and its benefactor, Wafik Said, it looks like, wants to name it after Margaret Thatcher. However, a number of dons are opposed to the idea and may force a vote in congregation, the university's supreme authority. And if they are successful, it will be a triumph of hypocrisy, mean-spiritedness, and intellectual prejudice, says Stephen Glover in the Mail. And he goes on to say about the donor, a Syrian by birth. He has had friendly relations with President Bashar Assad, who presides over Syria's increasingly murderous regime, though he has since denounced him.
Oh, that's nice.
That's fine, then.
What, from the comfort of his Notting Hill flat?
Yeah. Oh, mate, do you have to? Do you have to keep on... Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, you're not going to be on my Christmas card list anymore. Is that all right? You okay? All right. Bye, mate. That's the kind of denouncing that I got going on in my head.
Okay. Well, that's a good result. I mean, as long as they're not going to be building any Maggie statues. As soon as she dies, that's it.
Street party.
You know, I wish that instead of, street parties for the royal wedding, I think, you know, street parties for Maggie's funeral, because it shouldn't have to be a dour affair, you know? Let people celebrate her life and let the rest of us celebrate the future, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, though, once she's gone, you know, maybe she'll stop being vilified and we can look to waiting for Cameron's death.
Possibly.
I'm already looking forward to that.
But, you know, didn't she have, like, you know, got a half-life of, like, you know, 100,000 years or something? She'd be buried in concrete and lead.
Dumped in the North Sea. That's what we all want.
What's the name of that trench in the North Atlantic?
Mariana's Trench.
Yeah.
Now, there's brilliant. One on the moon. It's deeper. Use that one.
That still might not be far enough away.
There was also a dreadful anti-intellectualist kind of piece called Do We Really Need to Make Such a Fuss About Dickens? And that was having a go at his sentimentality and the fact that he was a champagne socialist, basically, saying that he was always saying that, oh, isn't it tough for the poor? But he was well off, wasn't he? Yeah. Like he had to give away all his money to be able to say that it's tough being poor. And this idiot was saying these days he would be a scriptwriter for EastEnders. Well, yeah. Is that a bad thing? It's not brilliant every episode, but there are some fantastic writers have come through the school, basically, that is EastEnders. Don't know what the guy's talking about. I think he's just, you know, filling space.
He could be right.
There's one last story that I saw, but I think it must be a fake because it's ridiculous. And if it's not, I'm very, very sorry for the poor man.
Well, you didn't research it first. You know, you just found it on one news source, did you?
Yeah, I only found it today, so I haven't had time to check. It sounds just nonsensical. A shopfitter died after falling from giant bucket of mayonnaise and stabbing himself in the heart with electric drill. That's got to be a made-up one, isn't it?
No, I'm sure I saw that on 1001 Ways to Die only last week.
All right.
No, I'm joking. Completely possible. I've seen some stories of ridiculous deaths before, but mayonnaise, great. But falling on the drill was the actual bit that killed him, surely.
Yeah, tragic. But that's the kind of thing when it's that difficult to keep a straight face at the funeral, I think that's the most hurtful thing.
Yeah, I mean, just, you're going to get jokes. I mean, we're all here.
I'm just thinking of the coffin, you know, branded with Hellman's on it or something like that. You know?
Sponsored by Hellman's. Yeah. You know, we'll pay for your funeral. It's the least we could do.
Yeah. The coffin sponsored by Black & Decker, you know.
Put together by a Bosch.
But
we've been pretty macabre this week, haven't we, really?
Sorry?
We've been pretty macabre this week.
We have.
Taking a piss, you know, wanting people dead. I don't know.
I don't want anyone dead, you know. I won't be sad when Maggie dies. That's all I'm saying. So just one last thing, which I just think, you know, because it's just nonsense anyway every week. Prime Minister question time.
No, I didn't see it.
Oh no, it's always a nonsense, isn't it? It's always the same thing. It's just, as you know, the headline says, "We look like a bunch of school kids in Parliament," admits Ed Miliband, as he vows to reform PMQs. And he's quite right. They do look like a bunch of idiots. Because it's just barracking. There's no serious politics in Prime Minister's Question Time at all. And it's just kind of just half an hour of comedy, really. and just the opportunity to go and sit in the house and go, for
that reason, I want to keep it because.
Oh, I love it. I think it's brilliant. I don't want to see it go, but, you know, I just think it's interesting that, you know, Ed Miliband is coming out and saying, look at a bunch of school kids. This is obviously reading this from the Daily Mail, so I'm not taking this next bit as gospel, but I'm going to, you know, apparently, and surprisingly from the Daily Mail, he's not exactly sure how it should be reformed, which kind of, you know, is the sort of thing they would say, really. But, yeah, what do you think about Primus' question? And obviously, you're a fan, John.
I like the concept, and, you know, when I do have, you know, get around to listening to it, then it's usually quite funny, because, you know, I think if you are going to be the Prime Minister, you need to answer the questions. And I think if there's ever going to be a time in Parliament to make light of stuff, gaffes, etc., that's probably going to be the time to do it. I'd rather them just get it all over and done with there and then take the rest of their time a bit more seriously.
But, you know, just half an hour a week.
Do you want,
discuss all the major burning issues that is affecting the country? Is it really enough? Should it be treated more seriously?
Maybe I just don't give a toss then.
Don't know. They can't treat it more seriously because even though everybody behind those two guys do look like school children bickering, Cameron looks like a punctured arsehole spitting flecks of Santorum occasionally across the dispatch box towards the Aardman animation saying, "The recession, Gromit, you've forgotten the recession." Utterly ridiculous. The two of them are the most foolish-looking people to represent our country.
And before anybody complains, yes, I know that there's been several Santorum pieces. He could have made this podcast three times over this week. Maybe I might do a quick Santorum rundown next week.
What a horrible slurry picture I've got in my mind.
Oh, this is bad, bad, bad.
The Santorum run down my leg or something like that. That'll be,
no.
Okay, I got to work on that. I'm going to do that for you.
But talking of Santorum running down the leg, I didn't read the story. I just saw the headline. I'm just going to share it because it's, you know, it's come up at this point. Apparently, there was something running down Christina Aguilera's leg when she sang at Etta James' funeral. I don't know. Did anyone else see that story?
No, I didn't.
Story or was it a dream? Are you sure?
It sounds like a dream to me.
No.
I'm not saying it's not something you found on the internet.
I saw it on the internet.
There you go.
Oh, dear.
Let's leave it there. We'll research some Santorum stories, okay?
Wow.
Right, okay. Well, thank you very much for listening, people. From me, John Stabler, good evening, and see you next week.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.